The Survivor Specialist Film Blake are back, and we are digging deeper into episode number 4 of Survivor 50. Today, we are joined by Jake Latimer from Survivor 49, and he is here to dig deeper with us. Blake, did you just get stage fright? Is that what just happened? You were supposed to open this podcast.
No, correctly. You said not to, but
wow.
What a night for the Gross Boys last night. Stephanie LaGrossa really was, throwing her weight around.
Let me cut in. What was that? That's a dance? That's what you do?
That's what you do? The gross dance for the Gross Boys for LaGrossa.
Oh, my goodness.
There's some rolling there. It's all arms. You know how it is.
That's the Gross Boys dance from Blake because Stephanie LaGrossa survived when down 5-1, it looked like, coming into this episode. But she gets to survive, and she's still going. I talked so much last night, and I'm going to let Jake and Blake do most of the talking tonight. But I just want to say big shout-out to the commenters. Obviously, last night was, like, kind of heated and everything. Everybody, appreciate the love, appreciate the support. It's pretty crazy to come in. I feel like I was in It's a Wonderful Life, and all of a sudden it's like I'm George Bailey at the end getting all my money. But thank you all for showing up. But I'm going to let Blake and Jake just give their real thoughts on this. And you know where we're starting, everybody. You know where we're starting. I'm not even going to let Jake say like what he's thinking.
I hope we're starting where I want to start.
Jake wants to start with Zach Brown. We're starting with Zach Brown. Go ahead, Jake.
Listen, man. So I had to watch it today. I was busy last night. I was out of the province, and I actually had goosebumps on my arms watching this. And it was just the most incredible thing ever. I'm a massive Zach Brown fan. My Chicken Fried, that was my favorite song for years. Probably still is one of my favorite songs. Mm-hmm. But to have that happen on Survivor, and you get a chance to have this five or six on one, whatever it was, with him just having beers and cooking fish, like you can pay money for that. Like that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And my honestly, I was watching like Joe Hunter. I tried to call him today just to be like, dude, how was it? But I didn't have much service where I was. Yeah, what an incredible episode. And that's if you like. I think, who was it? Was it Kobe? He said, if I go out tomorrow, like, I've just hit the jackpot. Like, that was incredible. What do you think, Blake? What do you think about the whole thing?
I think it's one of those things where it's like, you got to put this into context of, like, this is y'all's, like, junior high or high school, like, most influential musician. And for me, it's like, who would that be? Like, if T.I. or T-Pain? T.I.? Kanye West, like, unfortunately not anymore, but if
is that where he did that, those dance moves, those concerts?
Yeah, that's straight from Buy Me a Drink. Like, if T-Pain came out and bought me a drink on Survivor and passed me a pina colada, I would go to a different planet. And I get that some people's T-Pain is Zach Brown. It's not my T-Pain. And I think the only thing that I could really say where it sucked that it was a time suck. That's the only negative thing. It was a cool experience, but it was like, here's a dude with a 6-foot spear about to go kill a poor fish.
Like, yeah.
That and was, man, those, crazy.
And the fish he came back with were massive.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about that a little bit too, because when he came out, when Jeff kind of announced him out, and Jonathan Young, good friend of mine. I spent some time with him down in Honduras on a mission trip, and I found out that, like, he's a big spear fisherman. Like, he loves being in the ocean and fishing, and he had this opportunity to, like, not go spear fishing, but to eat a fish that was caught by a spear from Zach Brown. And I could tell that he wanted that so bad. He wanted it so bad. And just from knowing him personally, and it's too bad that he wasn't able to get that, but what a crazy, crazy concept to the game. But yeah, it did take a lot of TV time. I agree with that, but I was in for it. I loved every minute of it.
Because as somebody that looks at, like, I have worked in reality TV since 2012. So, like, I kind of look at this stuff as, like, how can we make this maybe a little bit better for an audience? Or, like, Zach Brown is the talent. You kind of have to do what Zach Brown is both good at and both wants to do. And then also, like, what looks good visually or whatever. But one thing that I think was maybe not a misstep, but maybe Zach didn't want to do this, of like, hey, Zach, you're in front of seven Survivor legends that you have watched with your kids. Go one by one and go like, oh my gosh, Aubrey, I think you should have beaten Michelle. Like, how are these people not voting you off? You're one of the smartest women out here, I bet. Colby, you know what? Whenever I watch you, whether I watched in Survivor Australia or it was like 3 weeks ago, it's so cool how dominant you were as that. And like, I bet you have years of wisdom and like almost pulling the Rizzo of like, oh my gosh. What do you talk to Maria still, Charlie? Like all of those moments, I was hoping Zach Brown could be the fan insert and fan out and be like, yes, I'm cool in my own right if I sell out stadiums, but you guys are super cool to me, and this is what I want to know.
And he also said, like, and which I thought was amazing. He's like, I feel like I know all of you already. So Zach Brown is telling these reality TV show people that he's like, I already know who you guys are. He's like, I know you, Joe. I know you, Kobe, and stuff like that. And I thought that was really cool. Like, it was just because we're just reality TV show people. We're not this. We don't sell out stadiums like you said, but I did think it was a really cool experience. When I was watching, it was kind of buffering, so I kind of missed a few key points. But like I said, I think it's just something that you can go to your grave with, and you got to have a beer, a private beer with Zach Brown and eat some fish with him. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's just kind of a appetizer for what the rest of 50 is going to have, because there's so many more episodes, but. You know what? I enjoyed it. I liked it just because I'm a massive country fan. I thought it was really cool.
All right.
Phil,
so now
are you a country fan, Phil?
I'm really not. I talked about last night on our podcast, my connection with Zach Brown, and it was with Chicken Fried and all of that. I won't rehash that one here, but here's what I will say.
See, I have never related to this song because my jeans have never fit just right. Okay.
There you go. That's damn
hey.
Right.
Neither have mine, apparently. I got tripped so much on my first episode. They're right here. About why would you wear skinny jeans? Well, Survivor kind of dressed us, but they are my jeans. They came from my closet. So, yes, they are mine, and I have to own up to it. But, yeah,
I don't fit just right.
I'll tell you that.
So the thing is, though, Jake, you've been positive. Blake, you've been surprisingly positive. The internet has not, and this is now officially – the lowest rated episode on IMDb of Survivor ever, because people have gone off on this. And I will say, last night, the comments here on YouTube, and I was talking about certain things and whatever, and it led to some positive comments here. I will tell you what, X is a hellhole right now. Oh my goodness gracious. I've been told to F off so many times today. I accidentally had a tweet that kind of didn't pop off that much, but it popped off more than I intended, because I just retweeted and said, I think it's insane that this is being ranked so lowly, because I'm like, I made fun of the Jeff rap so badly, and I hated that. This, I felt like, had more purpose. And
go ahead.
I feel like this had more purpose, but people are going off about this, and they're like disregarding the fact that the final half hour of this episode was entirely dedicated to the tribe that led to this 3-2-1 vote, which was really crazy and really cool. And I understand the complaint definitely about the spearfishing with Zach Brown and him getting four confessionals doing that, and like that taking up a lot of time. But the reward portion of it itself, like everybody actually sitting there and listening to him sing, could they have done one song? Sure. That might've made it tighter. But at the same time, Zach Brown's coming out there, you're going to get two. And a lot of people are saying, I don't know who Zach Brown is. I kind of look at that as that's like on you. Like, I could name two Zach Brown songs coming into last night. Yeah. Zach Brown has 900 million streams on Chicken Fried on Spotify. If you don't know who Zach Brown is, like, that's kind of on you. And even if you don't like listen to country, Zach Brown Band is big enough of a name that you should know who that is. Like, if you don't know who that is, who do you know and who do you want to come out? Because Taylor Swift's not coming out. Bad Bunny's not coming out. They've done the halftime shows. What do you want?
He was in the trailer too, so you could have, oh, let me at least, before this next episode, I'll listen to an album. If you're
so
a diehard Survivor, that's kind of what they're hoping for, I bet.
So I don't jump on like the X and the Reddit much. So
you're a smart man.
Yeah, there's nothing good on there ever. But are they more pissed off about the fact that it took up so much of the episode, or the fact that we're bringing celebrities into Survivor now, and it's just, it's not part of the game, or like, what did you kind of find, Phil?
I feel like it was both.
Why are people pissed? Yeah.
How do we have 20 Survivor legends, but we're getting four confessionals from Zach Brown. Whenever I thought of Survivor 50 in my initial head, I am never putting in the celebrity into it. So it is kind of like there's no celebrity segment that would be more interesting to me than watching the 20 survivors interact.
That's kind of the complaint for sure. And
okay, yeah. Go ahead. Okay, I get it. No, I get it. I think Survivor 50, CBS is just trying to do some new shit, right? They're just trying to see what works, what doesn't. But I personally, I liked it. But I mean, like I said, I haven't been online. I haven't seen. That's why I'm asking. Is it more of it took up a lot of the episode? Because it did take up a lot of the episode. Like when I was driving back today, I only had service every so often. And every time I came back, it just felt like it was getting longer and longer. And, but you know what? It is what it is, man. It's a TV show. And negative or positive comments, it's getting feedback. So it is entertainment, right?
And at the end of the day, it's the biggest talking point of the season so far.
There
and
you
I
go.
Think that's they what didn't... fans are annoyed about. They don't want it to be, but CBS is fine with that. They are fine. Yeah. Bad publicity is good publicity as long as you're not doing the Bachelor thing right now.
Yeah, like, and like I said, this could be an appetizer. Like, we know Mr. Beast is coming at some point.
I know.
We saw a preview with him on it. So who knows what else they have in store. Like, I'm all for it. It's just something different, man. It's something different, and I don't have anything bad to say about it personally.
Let me ask you this, Jake. Sorry, Blake, you want to jump in. Blake, you go. You go, Blake.
There's something that Jake is setting the – you're going to play again on Survivor, and I love what you're doing right now of like
– I don't know what you're getting at here.
It's buffering. So if anybody is like, did you see my season? Did you know what I did? You go, the internet in Canada is bad, man. It buffered that episode. I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
We're still on dial-up up here, bud.
Yeah, you're going to – anytime something bad happens on the next time you're on an island, just be like, buffered that episode and couldn't watch it, brother. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll get into that, but we'll talk about going back later in the thing, but I'm sure we got lots to say about that.
But I mean, we will definitely talk about that at a point here. I see where the internet's coming from. And that's where I understand why this is so divisive. I really do. Like, I get it. It just didn't bother me as much. I thought the spearfishing was weird. I thought, like Will said it on the podcast last night, he should have spearfished with the castaways. And that is the crippling part of 26 days opposed to 39. They're filming him doing this while other stuff is being filmed. Like, he's out there with his own crew. If they have 39 days, they have a whole day to bring Zach Brown out and give him the full experience and let him do everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I mentioned earlier about Jonathan Young, because what I thought when I was watching that is that these guys are going to be able to fish with him. And that's why Jonathan's mouth, like the camera wasn't on him, like right when they got that news, but his mouth would have like dropped right open. Like, what a bucket list thing to do. But who knows? Like, did he actually catch those fish, or did he go down for some camera shots and CBS already had them going? Because
that bro's a legend, bro. Of course he did it.
I like, how dare you? Those are big fish. Like, what did Genevieve said? She said, the first time I ever, or the only time I ever speared fish, I got one like a minnow, like this big or something like that. And this guy comes rocking up with two sharks, basically. So I don't even, what kind of fish were they? I didn't even see.
I think it was tuna, right? Because Coach said it's the best ahi tuna he's ever had, ever.
Okay. Yeah. I must have missed that. Yeah. I think I must have missed that little section.
Which, if he killed. I worked on Wicked Tuna for a season. Those tuna fish are like $10,000 each.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be insane. So, no, but yes. But I think there were smaller tunas than the big ass one you get from boats, obviously. But that had to have been like a $2,000 fish.
Yeah, 100%. If he got those, if he actually got those by himself, that's legendary. Like, just off the coaches or off the beaches of Fiji. That's amazing. So. Good for him. Good. I don't know. Like I said, I have nothing negative to say about that episode. Let the internet troll. That's what.
Here's the question I want to ask, and I'm going to ask it to you, Blake, as well, because I think also, like I said, a lot of people are saying, I've never heard of Zach Brown. I want somebody bigger. I always think when I was a freshman in college, this was in 2010, 2011, whenever homecoming was. Our homecoming guest, I forget who it, or the performance, I forget who it was. We had a kid on our freshman floor who was like, they got to do somebody everybody likes. And I was like, well, that doesn't exist. He's like, well, it's got to be somebody everybody knows. And I'm like, that doesn't really exist either. Like, unless you're doing like halftime show level, like that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And his answer was Lupe Fiasco. And I was like, dude, nobody here is going to name Lupe Fiasco songs. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't even know if I could do one song.
I couldn't do one song, and I couldn't do one song back in 2010 either. And so my thing is there an artist where you would have been like, and I'm not saying this from like a political or Blake saying Kanye West. If Kanye West talks out on the island, we have problems with Survivor. But I'm saying, like, some people seem annoyed that this was a country star, that this was Zach Brown band, that this is a somebody whose biggest album probably came out in 2008 to 2012, somewhere in that range. Is there somebody, Jake, if you're out there, like, obviously you have such a connection with Zach Brown, but is there somebody where you'd be like, I don't care about this, or a style of music? Or do you think you would just be like, this is awesome, I don't even care that I'm not into it?
So listen, like, I live up in Canada. I'm a farm boy kind of growing up. I listen to country music while I work out, right? Like, I'm 100% country. I love all country music. I'm trying to figure out how to say this without getting in trouble with the internet. I'm not a big into the rap game. I'm not a heavy deep metal, like anything like that. I wouldn't care, kind of thing. But I think a better question would almost be like, who could you pick that would kind of that everybody would want to see? Like, who's one band or one person? I got one off the top of my head. It's the Backstreet Boys, baby. Who does not want to have to be with the Backstreet Boys?
There's five of them, like, though. On. That's so many people.
I don't care. Blake, I'm telling you right now, Backstreet Boys come up or Zach Brown? You get to have a beer with one of them. Which one are you doing?
Zach Brown.
I'll take the Backstreet Boys, yeah.
Yeah, you get five of them, buddy. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get tripped big time on the chat right now, but I'm all here for it.
I get that question. I think the biggest problem, like when CBS runs into it, like St. Clifo is saying, what about Sia? Because Sia was giving away the Sia money and all of that. Like, we don't know. Billie Eilish, I mean, why isn't Billie Eilish coming out?
Yeah, that's right.
But I feel like what's interesting about this is whatever genre of music you listen to, you feel like everybody in that genre should be known. You just assume that everybody else listens to it. That's what you're saying. Even like classic rock at this point, I brought up the Doors to somebody like 3 years ago and they looked at me like I had two heads, and I'm like, you're the same age as me. Like, how do you not know who the Doors are? He's like, I don't know who the Doors are. I'm like literally Jim Morrison.
Three
like,
Doors Down?
Like, he's an icon. I don't think Drake knows who the Doors are, to be completely honest.
Doors? I think I've heard of them.
You haven't heard of them?
No, I think I've heard of them.
I don't think Blake has, to be completely honest. But this person had no idea. I was working out of college. I brought up Blink-182. The two people I'm working with had no idea what I was talking about. They were in college. They didn't know who Blink-182 is. And so I don't think you can ever find this. So what does CBS have to do? They have to go to their audience. Well, what is their audience? Skews a little older. Skews a little country. I think they kind of nailed what they got here.
And plus, he's a super fan. Right. So that probably Jeff probably talked to him. He's like, absolutely, I'll come out straight away. And because you saw how big of a super fan he was. But I don't know. Chase Rice.
Bring him back.
Yeah. He played. What season was that?
Bad one. Nicaragua.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's doing well. I love that, man. He's great.
Yeah. Blake, do you have an answer for this? Like, positive, negative?
I mean,
we got to move off Zach Brown. Otherwise, everybody's going to downvote the hell out of us. But, you know.
I tried to do it, and I think it is T-Pain for me. I was like,
do like that dance one more time and say, buy me a drink.
Yes, sir. I think T-Pain, they kind of nailed it on the Masked Singer for that first winner. Like, he's as iconic for that show as Richard Hatch is for Survivor, in my opinion. And it is kind of like a universally loved, really fun dude to be around. I'm sure if he had any inkling, if he loved Survivor and there was a celebrity casting booking for that, it'd be like, oh, of course I'll do that. And I think there's a few like that where it's like Gwen Stefani's already on NBC. Blake Shelton's already on NBC. And it's like, you got to dodge some of those. Kelly Clarkson, is she a CBS person? And you're like, okay. Do we want to have What Doesn't Kill You Make You Stronger on a beach? Like, acoustic country makes sense for the setting as well.
It does.
Yeah. Because you're going to have somebody come rap at you. You're going to be like, I'm so hungry. I don't care. I have a headache. Yeah.
I don't care if I won that reward or not. You got a rapper come out and spit some shit at me. I'm going to walk away.
So you would. Okay. So
I'll take a beer and.
So there are like certain people where, like, even if you're just like, hey, this is a big person, I don't know who they are, but I'm gonna like listen to the performance, you wouldn't just be like,
I had no idea who Bad Bunny was. No clue.
He's sick
for
though.
The Super Bowl.
I really enjoyed
the Super Bowl halftime show, but when I watch it and they said Bad Bunny, no idea who it was. But he absolutely destroyed it. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was good. What kind of music is that? I don't even know what it is. That's is that Latin? What is that?
There is a specific word for it.
The genre? What would be that genre?
That is someone in the chat was very excited about this when it was happening.
If we said this wrong, we would literally get murdered.
I know.
That's why I'm excited.
I'm going to pull it here.
I'm going to hit the button and figure this out.
Blake's going to Google it.
Latino?
All right,
I'm done talking.
That's one way you can do it.
Next topic.
Music genre.
Before we get in shit.
I know. Reggaeton. There we go.
Reggaeton. That was the word I was looking for. And I was going to say ska and get murdered.
It's not ska. I can tell you that. As somebody, what's funny, Blake, about you saying that is, you know who our homecoming show was? It was Real Big Fish. I know. But that's funny.
Awesome.
My windows are open and we're getting a thunderstorm. All right. Sick time to be in Miami. All right. Anyway, let's move off of Zach Brown. Let's move on to something else because this is where people want to go. And I think this is the perfect.
Well, let's come back from Tribal then.
Yeah. I think.
And
you
Stephanie
come back
was with- Stephanie was screwed and she was like, hey, guys, what happened? And there was a couple people that put their arm on her shoulder and was like, don't worry about it. And then she said to Angelina, which I thought was super smart, of like, I don't think I have it in me to go, I voted for you, Angelina. Here's why. And then everybody goes, you know what? Don't worry about it. And it literally felt like that was the last time Stephanie had to say something or like prove that she's not going to fly off the handle. And it was like, well, that was quick. That was a like 28 second scene that now Stephanie's good. You're like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Bill, I'm just trying to think of it.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, were you guys surprised at how easily Stephanie survived this? Like, this was a big conversation that I was having last night. Stephanie's name didn't even remotely come up in this episode as an option. It seemed like she was totally left out. And then she comes into the game here and everybody's like, we're good, we're good. And she really was good. I'm shocked at how easily she got away this episode with her tribe going to tribal again. With it seeming like it could have been an easy 5-1 vote, and then nobody brought her name up. I don't think it's because Stephanie's just that easy to be around. We've watched three of her other seasons where people butt heads with her all the time. She got off so easy here. She was never an option.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so much that the camera doesn't show you, right, as well. So I don't know, because that's what when Q went. That was Q's episode, right? When he – yeah. That there's a point I want to bring up about that, too. Q going really surprised me. Just because, like, on my season, when you're the bigger guy on the episode, like, you almost, in my mind, you almost have that automatic, like, make it to the merge kind of thing. Because no one wants to vote you out, mm-hmm. you know, before. Because we need the strength and power and stuff like that. And that actually really shocked me. Because Q makes great TV. He was playing the game well. And, yeah, for him to leave like that... yeah, I don't know, man. It just kind of shows you that season 50 is different. It's a different dog. You're never safe. But yeah, going on your point, I don't know, man. It just never came up again. So
they could have used Q in the challenge too, because they.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's like you're getting rid of. Like, he's obviously a unit, mm-hmm. and I don't know. Was he good at puzzles? Like, I don't remember his season. Was he?
He was pretty bad. His tribe kept losing every time.
Yeah, so and that's what I mean. Like, even in my season, I am terrible at puzzles. Absolutely terrible. And I made it very well known. So when I get to the merge, like, I could destroy everyone and everything, and I'm not going to be able to finish a puzzle. So mm-hmm. I'm not really a threat, right? So, yeah, that one kind of blew my mind a little bit. But back to your point, yeah, it's an interesting season.
I think one layer of Q going last week, we got rid of our unit, parentheses male. We can't get rid of Stephanie because she's our unit for the female side. And it is something where it's like, if we ever do man versus man, woman versus woman challenges, which could come down the pipeline, Stephanie is going to go way above and beyond everyone else. Like, she's kicking everyone's ass. Savannah's gone. And then, like, who could be her? Like, maybe Tiffany, but, like, she's been clocking everyone. So it's like, if we lost our unit with Q, we can't lose two units back to back, or there's no shot we'll ever win a physical immunity again. So I think that maybe helps her out. And when it came to what is the order.
And just speaking on that, just to backtrack a little bit, well, you said Rizzo and Savannah. Did you see Rizzo's face when he saw Savannah not show up at the, I know. Is going back a couple episodes, but when she didn't show up, his face, he's like, now what? I'm by myself. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
What thought process Blake... now that you're 49 forever and ever and always? Because we've had people from you have people on your season here. Have you been? Was it devastating to see Savannah go? And are you excited for Rizzo's game so far?
Obviously I like them. I played the season with them. I'm not
gang. Gang yeah.
I'm not very. I'm not very close with like my cast member. Like they are all very close with each other, right? They're all traveling together around and stuff like that, but. I was cheering for Savannah. I was, and I am cheering for Rizzo, but Savannah already won the million, right? So it's, you know, I'm not upset. It's not bothering me, but, I would have liked to see her go a little bit farther, but I know that her and Rizzo, I guarantee they would have talked and said like, whenever we make it together, we're going to, you know, be a team again. So now, and I'm sure we're going to get into this now with Rizzo, with this idol again, the most dangerous thing that man can have, That's crazy. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes because that man is good with an idol. So it's, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, to both of these things right now, Blake, you were talking about they can't get rid of the strength, but I think the biggest problem is like their strength right now is old. And so I feel like they're going to lose no matter what. So Stephanie and Ozzy were no match for the other people on the other tribe. And then Jake, you're talking about the idol here. And we'll get into kind of this decision of giving the idol to Rizzo as Genevieve. I know people were asking about that. But I just feel like this one tribe, they're so screwed without Q, like Jake was saying earlier. And I just I wanted to really focus in on that. I'm not focusing on that, but I just wanted to state that again, because as I was sleeping last night and then I woke up this morning, I was like, no, I think both of these votes were the wrong decision ultimately. But if we were to talk about – let's talk about Rizzo's idol. So Rizzo's idol. Rizzo's idol.
Oh,
Rizzo's
man.
Idol, Rizzo's idol. Do you think he's going to play his idol, though? Because this is being set up as him versus Charlie, even though he doesn't know that Charlie hates him.
So the thing, he doesn't know, but the thing about Rizzo, look at season 49, he gets his idol in what episode was that? Was that the same episode I got taken out? Like episode 3 he found it, or was it 2?
It was close to there.
Yeah, and he had that thing until the end, right? But the thing is no one has seen 49 on this entire cast. He can do the exact same thing, right? I think he's going to tell somebody that has a little bit of a big mouth. And he wants it to get out that he has it. And he's going to start telling he's going to play it every single time like he did last time. And then he's going to make it to the end again without playing it. So I think Rizzo's going to do the same thing he did in 49. That's why wouldn't he? It worked last time.
And I think even if you know that Rizzo kept an idol for 8 times in a row and played it correctly 8 times in a row, I don't even think you could understand what that means until you watch the footage back. So even though that these are some of the strongest Survivor players of all time who have their own intricacies and knowledge of what's going on, I don't think what Rizzo did had ever been done before. So it is not only a unknown factor, but it is like he innovated, never got punished. But these are stronger players. So maybe it is like, don't worry. Like these people will vote you out, Rizzo. Like, go ahead and click that button and use the idol.
Yeah, on your first it's gonna be super interesting to see, right? Just like on your point, he had that idol in my season. Everyone knew about it, and everyone knew every single time. He's like, I'm playing it tonight. Like, I have to play it tonight. And then no one's gonna put votes on him, right? Because if he does play it, or that they all team up on him, like whoever he picks is gone, right? So I don't know, man. I think that. That idol, I'm just going to say it right now, is going to get him very deep in this game because he's just going to do the old Riz God antics and be manipulative and get there however he needs to.
I love the idea that you're bringing up, though, of him purposely trying to get it out there, because we do see so many people hide the fact that they have idols and like they don't want to tell people because then they can get you in trouble. Then people play differently around you. You play differently. But Rizzo, it does feel like he wants you to know. Like it's like a great baseball pitcher. Look, you know, I'm like Mariano Rivera had 2 pitches. It was the cutter and it was a 2-seam. That was all he threw. And yet he's the best closer in baseball history because he was just going to say, this is what I'm good at. You know, it's coming and you're still not going to hit it. And it's like Rizzo's better when people know what he has, because then he can figure out how to manipulate that rather than not knowing.
Exactly.
Now, what'll be interesting is there a potential, because he thinks him and Charlie are close. Is there a potential that he maybe tells Charlie, who's ready to come at him and cut his throat?
Yes, and that's going to be scary. Like, this Charlie Ben, he's got some baggage that he's holding on to, and he's obviously not okay, like, mentally because of this that happened a while ago. But that's going to be super interesting, man. I can't wait to see, because Rizzo thinks he's, like, his man. That's his number. That's his boy, And yeah, I don't know, man. I'd love to be in the same room as them watching one of these episodes just to see kind of how they're dealing with each other. But yeah, what do you think is going to happen there? Do you think he's telling them?
Blake, what do you think? I'm going to Blake.
I think Rizzo is walking over to Suri and going, hey, guess what I got? And because it's too much of a, if you're a super fan and you have been thinking about, I'm going to hit the home run in the ninth inning of the seventh game of the World Series, that for Survivor fandom is, I have an idol and Suri's on my tribe and I want to talk to her about it. So yeah. I think it's too big of a fish for Rizzo to not go over.
He's such a smart kid. Like, he is so smart. His wheels were turning probably all night. He probably didn't sleep trying to figure out what to do with this thing. And I'm sure he's got a good plan. So I'm actually super excited to see what he does with it. I wish I would have been able to play with him a little bit more on 40. Well, I never got to play with him. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a great Survivor player. I have nothing bad to say about Rizzo. Love it. I met his family down in LA, and he's a great kid, and I wish that kid the best. But yeah, he's a smart Survivor player.
He's a kid to everybody out there. I think that's what's fun. Yeah. Like, you're calling him a great kid, and I know you're using this term of endearment and stuff, but like, for Suri, it really is like, who is this kid? And I do think that there's a bit of, if Rizzo tells Suri, I think, Blake, that's a great point. If he tells Suri, Suri's going to be able to use that ammo to her benefit no matter what. And I think Rizzo knows, like, if you watch Suri's game, one of the most loyal players to ever play Survivor. Mm. If you are in Suri's alliance, she won't go against you. She never will. She'll just make plans once you start getting down to it. But, like, she won't turn on her regular alliance. The best example is in Panama.
Aris, digestive. Parvati, and Sarah are very glad that they aligned with Suri.
Yeah.
One thing that you guys lightly tapped, and I want to hit it very hard. I think a very, very interesting thought process of the season is Survivor baggage. And I think whenever you play again, Survivor baggage in your head, if you lose that first immunity challenge, are you I'm on the disaster tribe again? Or like, what is that Survivor baggage for people at home that could never figure it out? If you haven't
for me, I didn't win one thing. Like, if you look at the Kella tribe, I didn't win one thing. Marooning challenge. Then we lost to, Alex went on the supply thing. And then I lost the journey. We went to tribal council twice. Nothing. And then after I got taken out of the game, we lost the next. Like, I didn't get to experience one positive thing on Survivor other than being there, right? So, yeah, I got a lot of baggage too. And the Shoe Bandit, you know, I don't think the Shoe Bandit can come back because everyone now knows who the Shoe Bandit is. But, I got big news to tell you guys too, by the way, on the specialist. So the nipple ring has retired.
No way. So you won't be playing Survivor again.
Well, long story, but I'm sure the comments are going to go off here. But it actually fell out like a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed it like 2 days later, and I couldn't get it back in. And so now I just have one big nipple and one little nipple. I know that Bryce is going to be really pissed off about this, but anyways, I want to bring it up on the specialist. This is big news in the Survivor community that the nipple ring is gone.
Isaiah is not going to call you anymore. That's it. He's done. Well, he's got nothing to say to you.
Yeah, that's the only reason he liked me. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all
honestly
gone.
Blake, how are you feeling right now? Do you like Jake guys, anymore?
No, Jake's great. I'm rooting for him anytime he hits that beach. One thing I do like too is my family's from North Dakota, and I would go to the farm every year for the summer. Not to help farm, but was around grandpa farming, where he farmed like 60 years of his life. So like, Canadian, 8 miles from the Canadian border, like, Canadian farmer is something that, like, I have not dealt with, but I've been around for my whole life. So it is something that's, like, not, I don't think a lot of people understand what you mean by, like, I'm farming.
Yeah. Like, so, like, what did you grow up farming? I'm not a farmer. So my, one of my best friends,
but you grew up on a farm or no?
No. So I grew up like on the outskirts of Regina, like kind of in an area, but like,
I literally Regina is where I would go hang out. Cause I'm talking about Crosby, North Dakota and Noonan. North Dakota.
So you're like
and Esteban, you're like the only person who would know that. Cause Esteban is right there.
Yeah. So no, I did a few years of like farming with a family friend and stuff, driving truck and, you know, grain cart combine, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but that's just kind of what you do. Like, there's not much else to do in Saskatchewan for work, right? Like, unless you're in the steel industry or whatever.
You're going to work at the Walmart or you're farming. Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically, yeah, one pays a lot more than the other, but. Yeah, man. No, I appreciate that. And honestly, like with your podcast, I love watching you guys, man. I've been watching you guys for a long time. So it's, like I said, I think this is my second podcast ever, third maybe. So, it's an absolute honor to do it with you guys.
You are on the podcast for the second time. I'm having a very fun time. I'm just trying to figure out how Blake went from your nipple ring falling out to telling everybody that you're a farmer or you work at Walmart. It's
one of the- you know what? He's just so rattled about the nipple ring that his brain.
Yeah. I don't want to live in that reality. So I pivoted immediately.
So he moved off. I mean,
listen, I'd show you, buddy, but there's probably kids watching.
Do you think that will hurt your chances? I know that, like, obviously what happened with you with the snake and everything like that, that's a big deal, and Survivor, I mean, you have a built-in story to come back and play again. Do you think when if they interview you and they're like, hey, take your shirt off, it's just like, nah, sorry man, you're out, we don't have time.
You know what, I could pierce it again, it just hurts like a bloody bastard, man. But I mean, I'd do it again, but because honestly, so I'll, let me tell you the story about Blipper. We won't go long into this, but okay. I got it done as a kid. I think I was in high school, and me and my two best friends were all like, hey, like, let's go get our nipples pierced. The chicks will love us kind of thing. And anyways, we all did it. And anyways, mine got ripped out during hockey or something like that. And anyways, it grew back. My nipple didn't grow back, but it healed like a bigger size. Like the nipple was bigger than the other. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to re-pierce it to make my one nipple look big for a reason, yeah. Not just have one big, one nipple, one little. And that's why I did it. So it wasn't to be cool anymore. Like, I'm 37 years old. Is it 37, 36? I don't know. I'm somewhere over there.
Survivor Wiki says 36.
Yeah, so I just did it just to make the one nipple look normal. And now I'm back to what I was 20 years ago. So, yeah. And anyways, now that's my story. So
we're digging deeper into Jake's nipple.
This is great for people that need casting.
Are we getting any
help?
Good comments? Like, anyone want? All right.
Yeah, like, can you tell a story like that, people that are trying to get on the show? If not, live a little.
I definitely didn't show my nipple on the show. Actually, I don't think anyone saw it till the first episode. I don't know. I don't think I had to show my nipples for the casting.
No.
But this time
that's
around.
A long yeah. forgotten process of casting.
Yeah. Let's get off the nipple.
I have to end it with this. Do you think that in the Survivor casting room, you are the guy who got bit by the snake or the nipple ring guy? I think you're the nipple ring guy, so you gotta have the nipple.
I think I'm the nipple ring guy that got bit by the snake. that hides shoes. And last thing on top of this, someone, you know how there's all these crazy people out there that, like, they do have stats and stuff on Survivor? Someone got the airtime of my nipple for like since I started, and it was something like 6 minutes and something. My nipple was on TV, so someone actually took the time to sit there and record. Yeah.
Oh, I bet they loved it. I just hope their pants were on. You know.
Like, oh my god! All right, we're moving on. Yeah, we're moving on. All right. Did Genevieve make the right decision giving the idol to Rizzo? I know we've talked about Rizzo having it, what we think Rizzo will do with it. Did Genevieve make the right decision giving it to Rizzo? Jake, you're up.
Two-part answer. I think in her mind, she did. In her mind, she wants to play. She's a very smart person here, another Canadian. I've never got the chance to meet her, actually, or even talk to her, but I love her gameplay. I'd love to meet her one day. But she's very smart, so she knows what she's doing. So I think in her mind, she did the right thing. However, she doesn't know how dangerous Rizzo is with an idol. So that's what I'm very interested to see, kind of how that plays out. Because as soon as she said she's giving it to Rizzo, like, I'm like, oh, this is his ticket to the end. So, and I mean, mark my words right here, I think that's going to take him deep. Mm-hmm. But who knows? It's a bunch of legends he's playing with. They might... I don't know. This season's good, man. I don't know. I'm super invested in it.
One other layer of Rizzo doing so well on 49, I think the boomerang idol, if you vote out the person that has the idol, if you literally say, no, we knocked you out and you didn't play the idol goes back to Genevieve. The idol goes back to...
Exactly. What do you guys think about that? Do you guys like that?
I do like it.
But I think that's maybe because Rizzo played it so well, we need to give an incentive for all the rest of cast of 49 to go after him because they didn't. Good. And that's what maybe made the boomerang be a thing of like, we want there to be heat on these people that have these idols. So they're more likely to play them.
That's a good point. It's going to play a big part of the game later in the game. So yeah. Good job, Billie Eilish.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
So let me throw this one up. This is from St. Clippo from before we even went live. And I think this is a really fun question. It says, weird situation. I was wondering if you could talk through at some point. So let's get into this one. Let's say Vatu and Kahlo go to tribal next episode. If Ozzy is voted out in the first tribal, would Genevieve get the boomerang idol before Kahlo goes to the second? I feel like it has to be no, because then we would also have to have a reason why one tribe goes to tribal council before the other. Just been on my brain. I think, and I want to say this with the caveat.
That's a lot. That's a lot for my brain right now.
Yeah, I think that the second they determine which tribe's going to go to tribal based on placement, probably, or I don't know how they're going to do it, because you're not going to figure out who's second, who's third, unless they're playing for some sort of reward still for the second place team. So maybe they would do that, because that's how you would determine. I don't think that the person going to the second tribal would get something, because there has to be a time for production to put it into your bag and let it be known that it came back to you. These tribals, if they're doing two on one night, they're going back to back. I mean, you're in the holding area getting ready to go in, whatever the holding area is, and the tents, whatever it is, you're getting ready to go into tribal council while the other tribe is there. So I don't think that the person would get it, but I could be wrong. And I'm interested to hear what you guys think about that.
I don't know, man. That kind of blew my brain up there. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about that one.
I think it would be a layer of, we want our idol to be played. Like, what is the production mindset of these Billie Eilish boomerang idol? Like, we want it to be played. All right. When that thought process, we'll figure out a way to get that idol in that bag before they go. If we're more like, oh... I'm not saying they make every decision on the fly, but I think there was something written underneath Billie Eilish Boomerang Idol where they had to go through every thought process of this and probably did on a double day. If Sandra and Parvati went home that night and then started the pandemic right afterwards, if Sandra goes home first and bequeathed an idol to Parvati, Parvati could have used it that night. And like, I think they've thought of this. And we'll see, because I think it will come up.
But you know what's crazy about the bag? I'm going to touch on this. The bags. How many times have we seen contestants this season walking around with their bags through the jungle? When I was on my show, my backpack sat in the same. It's right here. Where is it? Here it is right here. It sat in the same spot in the sand my entire time there. And now you see Rizzo with his bag going through the jungle. If I saw someone get up and take their bag through the jungle, I'm going to look to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for sure. So it's just weird because I've seen it was Rizzo,
Aubrey.
I think was there one more, but it's
and
like
Ozzy, the first episode.
Yeah, you don't need your bag to go. What are you doing?
You're picking like, up six for fireworks.
So it's production saying, hey, check your bag. Like, go somewhere and check your bag. How are they finding out?
St. Cliff, yeah, well, on your season, Jawan would have taken your bag if he could have. You weren't on a tribe with Jawan, Jake. You don't know how he changed the game by just picking up bags.
The only time I saw Jawan was at that journey when I let him beat me in basketball because I'm a hockey player. And he's
did he take your bag? Did he try? Was he like, hey, what do you have over there? I just feel like that
was
what he
was going
for.
The journey. I didn't take my bag to the journey. I don't know what that comment even meant.
Back
up. What did I say?
Jawan, no, he was just messing with you saying that Jawan would have taken your bag.
Jawan was taking his bag
over and over again. That's all.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, though, if Survivor was a Canada-based production and instead of shooting hoops, hockey, you guys were hockey coconuts into a net?
Do that again? How do you shoot a hockey stick?
Did you see him swing a baseball bat earlier?
Buddy, what is that?
Hey, man.
You want to keep your hands together, Blake?
You'd have the worst shot.
Gary Sheffield going on.
Hey, man. I never had the knees to play hockey or the income. But my local
– or anything.
My local team was the Odessa Jackalopes, though. And
our mall had
a ice skating rink in it. So.
But, yeah, I think that would be cool. There was a Canadian Survivor, the Quebec one, right?
Yeah.
Quebec Survivor, but
Cass was on.
You gotta speak French though. That's
yeah. She was on. She was on. Bryson, World.
Yeah, Bryson Wendell in Montreal. They're trying to get me to go next week, but I just don't think I can. But yeah, that would be a good one.
I wouldn't go.
That'd
to
be a good one.
Montreal.
I went to Montreal once. That was fun. Blake.
Me too, but we're not going to talk about that here.
Yeah, right? I went there for a music festival. That was fun. So Blake, I want to ask you then. Just rattling this one off, finishing this off with St. Cliffo here. Do you think they'd give it to her? Like, they're not going to determine a second and third place finisher in this challenge, probably.
Oh, because Jeff puts his hand up and the other two go.
That's what I'm
saying. I get what you're saying now.
A reward to second place.
I get what you're saying now. And if they're, I think they would do a, do you guys want to play for this tricked out tarp or not? And it's like, of course we do. And then it's like, well, the second place. And like,
so then if Genevieve were to go to tribal second, you think they would find a way to get it in her bag? This is where we need Will, because Will would actually have the answer.
I think so, because they want the idols to be played. Everything about the Billie Eilish Boomerang Idols screams to me, we don't want people holding this on until Final Five. I think they want idols to be played from 20 to 15, and this is the way to do it.
It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting. Right now it's quiet, but it's gonna blow up soon.
Yeah. I think you're right. Rizzo's about to make some drama because that's what Rizzo does. I'm curious if Rizzo will have to play his idol this week because I know Charlie's against him and Sari is rolling her eyes at the Riz God. I got to play with the Riz God.
Do you think Charlie's being a bit overdramatic, though, about this whole baggage that he's carrying?
I think that the editors are doing to Charlie what they did to Katara with Bruce, where it's like, we know you're saying other things, but this is your story, so we're just going to hammer it down viewers' throat. And I think some viewers are like, why is Charlie so obsessed? And I think, like, for me, who's been watching the show for long enough, I think it's more of a question of why are the producers so obsessed with making this his one note on this season? And I think it makes sense.
That's all it's been.
And I think it makes sense because coming into this season, like, Q was, like, the loud guy who caused chaos. Christian was the nerdy guy. Like, you knew where they all fit. Charlie was a good Survivor player who made it far, but I couldn't tell you what archetype or what role he fit into. And it's almost like they needed to figure out what's his story going to be on this season. And it was easy to say the Maria thing bothered him. Everybody's going to remember the Maria thing. Charlie's the guy who lost because of Maria. That's his story. And that's what they've made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big analogy guy, though. And so here we go. I hate mushrooms. I'll tell everyone I hate mushrooms.
You ate mushrooms? Or you hate
I hate
mushrooms?
Them. Hate them. They're the worst. So I hate mushrooms. If somebody else came up and go, I kind of like mushrooms. They're actually really good. I'd be like, I'm voting you out. And so, like, that's a macro level where I'm like, whether it's a narcissist of like, oh, I have trouble with narcissists in my real life. It kind of sucks. If somebody was like, I think it's probably your fault, or narcissists aren't really a problem for me, I'd be like, I just told you a problem. Like, you know, I have a problem. Why did you not have my back? I'm going to go after you. Like, it's such a simple, like,
yeah.
Rizzo doesn't know how bad he stepped in it, but it is something where, like, Rizzo, when he's 35, would know. When Rizzo plays Survivor 74, he's going to know to not step in it that bad, and he'll be, like, Final Five because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think Rizzo's learning, but I think he's playing a great game. I want to talk about Christian.
Okay.
I love that man. I haven't watched his first season. I'll be honest with you. I haven't the first one that he's on. Or has he been on two or three?
No, he's only been on David's
second time.
David Guy and then this one. But I would love to have a beer with that man. Like, he is making great television. So Joe, when Joe was in the hammock, and Joe's a very good friend of mine. I was down at his place for Halloween, met his family and his kids and stuff. And Joe's laying in that hammock, and Christian's like right under the mesh with his face like right there. And I'm like, I love this guy. Like, I really need to have a beer with this guy. But he's just so good at the game. And I don't know, man. He's making great television. So I just want to say that really quickly about him. Never met him. Would love to. But
because Christian's whole deal is, I am such a specific flavor of person. I am the smartest person. Most smartest people on Survivor come in and go, I don't want to tell people I'm a lawyer. But Christian never shirked that at all. He's like,
he's a genius.
I am a genius, and I want to help you guys get further. And a WWE wrestler was like, I want to work with you. And it was like, that's crazy, because you're supposed to hate each other. And that's the whole theme of the season, is like, y'all wouldn't get together. And it's like, no, I'm going to get together. It was great.
Yeah. But yeah. And how about the talent show they did there? Do you guys have any takes on that?
I didn't think the Mickey Mouse thing was that good, but everyone's
what
like,
"What are you talking?" I love the Mickey Mouse. So
that was a pretty good Mickey Mouse, Blake. I just can't believe Camilla hasn't heard Mickey Mouse's voice since she was 3 years old. It's like, Camilla, turn on your TV or like go outside. Mickey Mouse's voice can be heard somewhere.
I think if you're not into Zach Brown, my thing that I am not into is Mickey Mouse. I'm a Nickelodeon person. If you give me Doug, if you give me SpongeBob, if you give me like even Samurai Jack on Cartoon Network, like those are the things I care about. Like Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
But even Jonathan with his wrestling, like I knew when I was watching this, I was like, Jonathan, he's going to wrestle someone. He's going like before they even did it, because when we were down in Honduras, I think it was our last day there before we all flew home. What an experience, by the way. We'll do that another podcast. But him and Elvis, he's an influencer that was down there with us. They were both in the same wrestling school about 6 years ago, and that's how they met each other. So they did this whole like wrestling match with each other, and it's actually a lot of talent. Like I loved it, but I absolutely knew he was going to start wrestling someone on that beach. I would have been I'm a speed walker. I'm the best speed walker you'll ever see in your life. That would be my talent.
That was a very small area to do speed walking, though. You're just going to go in a circle? You're like the guy who runs 5Ks in an airport bathroom?
I just go down to the beach. I take them all down. I get them off their little stool there. I go down to the beach, and I show them how fast I'm speed walking.
Mm.
I'll show you next time I'm on.
Now I want to see that. That's why you were stealing shoes, was because you were trying to figure out which one would be best for your speed walking.
Correct. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on from that.
Well, so going back to Christian, because you're all talking about how he's a genius, was that the right move last night?
Oh, dude, that was okay. That like before Tribal Council, like when I was watching that, my head was just, I didn't know where this was going. There was so many different conversations. Mike was way too calm, and just like Mike knew that he was safe. Like he was walking around like he was safe. There wasn't he wasn't nervous. He was just like, and you can't get that safe. You can't feel that safe because it's such a target on your back, and it even came up. So I don't know. That was an interesting Tribal Council. There was a lot going on. And you could tell no one was really sure what to do or who to vote for, but Mike going home, that's kind of crazy, man. I don't know.
What goes through my head? 3-2-1. One of the hardest things to do in Survivor usually happens at final six.
Yeah.
Because if these people hate your freaking guts afterwards, you can win an immunity and you'll be fine. After you win an immunity, you can do fire. And then you could go, I set up this stuff at six. I won at five. Thank God I won fire. That move at six made it to me so I could win. Christian did a 3-2-1 at final 20, which is insane.
Yeah.
Because how are you going to okay, Ozzy is legitimately pissed at me, and that's in the trailer. Angelina is like,
is that for next episode?
I haven't
seen the trailer yet.
Next time on Survivor, and Ozzy's no shot, bud. Hate your guts. And you're just like,
Sitting good, man. He's good, I think, personally.
But Christian, like, everyone that worked with him, Stephanie, they didn't pinky swear till the end. And Emily has already betrayed his trust like 3 times already.
Yeah.
So, like, how are they going to stick together for this next vote? And if it is a simple, like, let's just vote out Angelina. They're not going to vote out Ozzy, I don't think. Let's just vote out Angelina. It's like, then he loses his other David versus Goliath person. It's like all bad for him.
I think Angelina was the better move out of the three. I mean, I think that's why I'm surprised Steph's name never came up. But I feel like Angelina was the better move because Ozzy was willing to do it. Emily would have gotten on board with it. You're making Mike White mad, but where can Mike White turn? Because after that tribal council, you're going to have Emily and you're going to have Ozzy pretty much no matter what. Doing this, you have a three-to-two advantage now going back to the beach, and Ozzy and Angelina are on the outs. Ozzy and Angelina aren't working with you again. And I will say this, again, going on the little X sphere and the Instagram sphere and stuff, and just seeing like what Mike Bloom has put out from the exit interview with Mike White and stuff, Mike White and Angelina are not speaking with Christian as far as it looks right now.
Really?
So it seems like this was very personally taken. And so if they're taking it that personally and they've known Christian for as long as they have, then how are Ozzy and like, how is Ozzy going to take this? So I feel like this made a lot of enemies, and it's interesting because Christian's entire game in the first couple episodes was, I want to make these unanimous votes so we piss off the fewest people. And then he just turns around in this one and he just makes it a crazy all over the place vote.
It's because and I'm guilty for it too, it's because the emotional connections with players trump the strategic side of the game as well. I'd be the same way. So if I played with someone like Alex, all right, like if there's a 4-on-1 vote against him, I'm going to try to save him just because he's a friend of mine, right? So, and I think that's kind of how it went down. But yeah, you're right. You got the numbers, and this is a game. This is Survivor. It's a numbers game. You got the numbers. Do what you got to do. Apologize after. But that's crazy that Christian, they're not talking. Like,
that's today, how it apparently. Seems based on what I'm reading. Christian and Mike have not spoken since.
Well, Nicole has never said the word to me from season 49. So I guess it was personal. Who knows?
Yeah. Look at that. All right, Blake's crossed himself. Blake,
one
thought
process that we didn't quite mention. Mike brings up the name Gabby, and I think that was the catalyst. And if you haven't seen David versus Goliath, Gabby was an alliance member for Christian. Christian and Gabby work together. They're both the nerdiest people, nerdy on their tribe. And it was like, we're going to work together. And then there was a thought process of she wanted to separate herself from Christian. She votes for Christian. Christian gets the most votes. But the idol comes through, saves Christian, and she goes home. So it was both sides went at each other on that fateful night where Gabby goes home. And then the next one, Christian is exposed. He doesn't have an idol. Gabby goes first. Christian goes second. It was at 8th place and 7th place on this season. And it was very sad, very much a, why did we go against each other? We should have stayed together. And so when Mike White brings that up on that beach and goes, bro, this is why you lost last time. You need to listen to me. I'll get you further. Gabby is like exactly what you're doing with Emily. And I think they edited it pretty well for my liking.
The edit's been amazing.
As soon as you said that name, that's the switch of you're no longer a really good friend to me that I can look for and advice. You're saying like the meanest shit you can say to me right now to try and manipulate my emotions.
And I'm going to pull up a few comments too. Go ahead, keep going.
I think there is a moment where it's like, if I tell you, hey, I kind of... What do I have? I have a relationship with this family member that is a real point for me. This is why I'm on Survivor. If you go, would your mom be proud of what you're doing right now? I'd be like, I told you that to get closer to you, not for you to be able for me to manipulate me. And I think Mike White sees it as I'm helping you out, but Mike White has more options, has more kind of like Christian is not option. Like a Christian can't hear that because Christian is going, oh, you're an evil presence right now. And I think that's what happened to flip him immediately.
Fenderman says, I feel like Mike was kind of right, though. And that's how I felt. Like, Christian and Gabby are friends now, as people are pointing out in the chat. I mean, they were at a watch party the other night together. But I do feel like Mike was saying, this is what your downfall was last game. Don't fall into the same trap again. And then Christian kind of fell into the Charlie thing, which is like, oh, but I'm taking this personally now because it is hurting me. And I mean, look, whatever side of this you stand on, I don't think Christian wanted to hear it. And I do think that that was a big impact on the vote. And I know, Jake, you didn't watch Davis Goliath, but it's like Christian and Gabby were really close and then it just fell apart. And it feels like, you know, Mike bringing this up, he's not wrong, but it would make sense that Christian would take it very personal.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Blake. You got something to say.
This is my favorite. My favorite thing that has been introduced. I think Mike White was a perfect addition to this cast. I will never once say, oh, we should have gotten someone else. It's kind of interesting to see his flavor. He's saying the words Machiavellian. And then Mike says something at this tribal, which I think will be repeated for years to come. There are some people you'd rather lose with and hang out with them than who you'd rather win with. And like, maybe I should have kept Q because he's stronger, but Q's not going to take me to the end. And these are the people I chose over Q, and we're right back here again. But if you guys had had a trivia competition, we would have kicked everyone's ass. Mm-hmm. So I know in the new era, we're not having trivia competitions, and I probably should have kept Q, but I'd rather lose with my David and Goliath OGs than win with Q. And I think that's something where that Mike White can tell stories. Mike White can pinpoint things that maybe other people can't put into words. I think Mike White was a perfect addition to this cast, and anybody that's going, yeah, does he really need it? Or what did Mike White have to talk about? I think everyone thought maybe he was just going to go because, oh, Mike White's rich. We need to knock him out of here. I don't think that's what happened at all. I think Mike White is going to have one of the most personal vote outs in this cast of 24. And that's kind of what we've been missing from some of this more recent seasons of like, we want people to go out angry and like, make a blunder like that of it's a personal thing that happened.
Yeah, I hear you. Jake, let's talk about that real quick with the whole people you'd rather win with and or people you'd rather lose with than win with, because, you know, I do think that's a really good point here. Like when you're on your season, you're talking about if it's you and Alex, like this, that, whatever, like you're really close with Alex. So would you have ever been able to vote out Alex if it was the best thing for your game?
So
around him.
So I think episode one, you saw me kind of tell Alex and Soph about my wife being pregnant and, you know, a baby's on the way kind of thing. And the reason I kind of told them that is because I wanted them to trust me as a friend and just say like, hey, look, you know, the reason that I'm here, I'm going to give you that information. You keep it safe. I'm going to take you guys to the end because and if I get to tribal council, I didn't put this on TV. I said, I will stand up. If us three get to the final tribal, where there's three of us, the jury, I will stand up and tell the jury why you guys deserve to win, because I want to take my best friends there. Because if you work as a three-person alliance the whole way and you are truthful to each other and honest, that's all you can really ask for, right? So I was prepared to take Soph and Alex all the way to the end. I had an opportunity to vote Soph out, you know, when Annie wanted to get Soph out, which I wasn't never going to do. I could have blindsided Alex. I could have made some massive moves before I got taken out, but I was true to my word with them. Now, if I was to play again, I think I need to turn off my emotion a little bit and stop making these like super personal connections and stuff, because I think it probably would have fucked me later in the game. Mm-hmm. But to your question there, I was ready to take both those guys ride or die to the end, and who knows how that would have went for me.
Yeah. And it feels like that's where Christian was at. St. Cliff also says it's a lot easier for multimillionaire Mike White to say than a new father. And it was Christian who just had the baby who's out there and he's trying to play the game a certain way. And Mike White, the money doesn't really matter to him, the game. But I do feel like Christian is drawing dead after this. I mean, I was huge on Christian.
I think
Christian's super entertaining. I love him on this season. I was excited he's back. Through the first couple of episodes, I was like, oh my God, he's got this. I feel like we will look back at this move last night as the reason he lost. I don't know if there's a correct answer to what he should have done. I feel like Angelina was the best move, but I feel like Mike White was probably his worst move. And I think that's going to end up hurting him down the line. I mean, his best case scenario is they lose the next two tribals and Ozzy and Emily both go, Ozzy and Angelina both go. So the only people going into a swap or a merge are Steph and Emily who are going to feel indebted to him.
How about Emily? How about Christian keep catching Emily spilling all the beans about
him? Yeah, just doing this like, the whole time.
Twice in a row now. He's like, what is wrong with this girl? But it's great.
How do you let that go by, Jake? Let me ask you that. Sure. How do you let that go by? You tell somebody a secret, they blow it up. You tell them a secret again, they blow it up again. How do you keep playing with them?
You can't. I don't think you can. I mean, the first time should have been a massive clue, like just don't do that again. And he did it again. It happened again. So I don't know how this is going to play. He obviously trusts her with his life, but like once is enough. Two's too much. And it was just hilarious behind. He's like, he's so animated, right? Just zip. Like he's so animated. That's why I love him. Right. And congratulations to him as well. Is he a new father? Is that his first kid?
Yeah.
I think congratulations. So. Congratulations. It's amazing.
It was also first time shitting his pants. He did not shit his pants on his original.
Dude, this guy's done so much in like, 3 episodes, then the rest of the cast combined. And like
everyone on Twitter was also like, I swear to God, if Christian is the main character again next episode, I'm going to freak out. And it's like, well, he's lost TV. Every single challenge.
Yeah.
He shit his pants. Himself. He has a kid and he's
the reason for all the votes. He's determining who's going home. Every time.
Was he was bragging about shit this time. He was okay with it, wasn't he? Like he was like,
I don't know if he was bragging, but he wasn't that upset. Like,
he didn't go, happened. Hey everybody, tune in tonight to CBS. I shit my pants in the first 5 minutes.
I'm telling you, man, those coconuts, man, they're diuretics. They go right through you. So it's good for him though.
Good for him. Good for him pooping his pants.
That's I'm what sure his about, son actually. Shit his pants watching him that night and it was all
probably
father like son.
Yeah. Oh my God. What else we want to say about this episode? I know we've gone a little bit over an hour here. What else we got? We've covered the big things. Zach Brown did take up a big portion, and we talked about that at the beginning here. So, Blake,
I had that arch. I feel like, Jake, you'd be great at this arch game of like putting up the arch that.
What is this game?
No, the challenge.
The challenge, episode. The arch.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to like, copy you doing something. I don't know. I thought we were just clapping here. I think the arch game would have been good. So yeah, look, just looking at that challenge, that was a beast of a challenge. That was massive. You could see how absolutely exhausted everybody was at the end of that. And it was so hot. So 50 filmed, I think 2 weeks to 3 weeks after 49 finished. And that was the hottest season. I think Jeff Probst came out since Cambodia or something like that. And I know that my wife was looking at the weather there. It was like 42 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is, Fahrenheit, 105.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
42?
42 Celsius.
Yeah, that's definitely way over 100.
Yeah, look it up. But anyway, I absolutely feel for them. Because even if you watch like season 49, like my second challenge, when I ripped that ladder out and got everyone up the thing, like I was dry reaching. Like it wasn't like I was in decent shape, but the sun, like it just absolutely destroys you. So that challenge that they just did would have been very hard. And you could see how gassed everybody was. So I think that the challenge was the only other thing I really want to talk about on.
Well, one thing that pops into my head, cause we have you here and we might as well, like Joe Hunter and Jonathan, I feel
good
like
friend.
You're also a person that whenever you're put on a tribe, everyone is pointing and being like, that's our big dude. And now these challenges have basically a requirement for the big dude to like, you're going to push up 7 people up a thing behind you. You're the big dude. You're going to be the number one person pulling or pushing all this stuff. I think it makes the big dudes even more of a don't vote them out than ever. Mm-hmm. which you did 100% say earlier. Like, I think, do you think that's not fair, but do you think that's a thing that you would, when you go on another season, be like, the challenges are so catered to me, brother. Like, I'm not
but
going to.
But they're not, and I'll disagree with that. Like, obviously, I was a physical beast. I'm not being cocky. Like, I
right. That's why you're there. Good,
but it's the puzzles, right? Like, I can't do a puzzle. Like, I honestly wouldn't put my hand up to do one because anyone else has a better chance than me. But obviously doing, like, Annie switched her vote right away, right? I was a target on episode 3 mm-hmm. before the challenge. She's like, look what Jake just did. Like, we can't vote him out. Well, you already threw my name under the bus. So, but yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, if I made it to the merge and had to do puzzles, you'd see exactly. And that's why I wasn't a threat, because I'd never be able to finish.
Yeah, this is the second time, because this was also on Q's first season, and they had voted out Jelinski right before this, who's like 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", like whatever he is. And then they had to do this challenge, and they lost it because of that. And then you turn around. Yeah, thanks, Blake. And then you turn around, and you vote out Q this time, so you vote out your biggest guy. Not that they ever got to that portion of the challenge. But yeah, I mean, like, that arch and everything, the way they have it, yeah, multiple people are having to do stuff. I mean, you have pretty much
that's tough, really, man. Big. Yeah, that's tough. I wouldn't even spelt it properly, to be honest, but
that's what you had Chrissy there for.
It still is a puzzle. I get what you're saying now of, like, yes, I can hold it up, but
I mean, no,
did
like
I spell
that,
it
yeah,
right?
That's, yeah, that's fine. But I was going to ask you guys, do you guys have anyone that you think is just the beast of the, not the beast of the game, like physically, but like, who is running this game the best, and who do you think is going to maybe win the show, or at least top three, if you got to pick one name after episode 4?
I mean, I'll go first, because I was talking about it last night. I feel like I was on the Christian train, but Christian's gone to every tribal. I think what's hard right now is the person who won might not have gone to a tribal yet. So, like, who could that be? I feel like Devin's not getting anything last night, and Jonathan not getting anything last night really hurts them. I mean, Rizzo and Genevieve are getting pretty big edits. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see them going really deep in the season. Although I feel like Genevieve's in a lot of trouble with Aubrey there, because Aubrey has an idol. I mean, from what I've seen so far, it feels like Christian's the star, but like, Ozzy's been the second star, and I'm not going to say Ozzy's going to win. So I feel like it's been a really well edited first couple episodes.
Yeah, there's no one that's standing out yet. That was basically what I was getting to. Like, mm-hmm. For me personally, there's no one that I'm looking at. It's like, that person's definitely like getting the end. But now Rizzo with his idol, I got to put him at number one right now. I have to, because he's dangerous, man. He's dangerous. So
what about Coach?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Coach tripped me about getting bit by a snake, so I'm not the biggest fan of Coach.
Right now. Oh, no. I mean, you know, Coach has been bitten by, like,
I love Coach. I understand, yeah. But
lived with snakes. I don't know if you know this or not. Yeah, but
yeah, I heard that.
JT
yeah.
and Steven.
Yeah. No, he I feel like Coach would be good. I mean, Coach, it's just hard. Again, Coach hasn't gone to tribal council yet, so I don't know what to expect from Coach. I feel like it's been the same people going to tribal over and over and over and over again, which makes it hard to see. So I agree with you, Jake. It is hard to tell. I don't feel like it's being dominated. I feel like we get a double boot this week. This will start to tell the story. But
oh, is that a double boot coming up? Is that that was in the
next
trailer?
Next time on Survivor.
Yeah. Okay,
he literally does. That. The two worst tribes will be going to tribal
together.
I don't think so. I think it is two boots. Yeah, I think it is two boots. That's a good question, though. But I'm assuming it's two boots. They need to get rid of people at some point. I'm hoping it's this.
No, I didn't mean like together, as in like voting. Like, I meant like, are they all like going at the same time, like two separate ones? And I don't know. A season 50, man.
We don't know. And that's a good point. We could. I mean,
if anybody uses their combiner coin, then yeah. But
get out of here. Yeah. Yeah, nobody stands out for me. And who for you, Jay? I mean, the other thing is, you bring up Rizzo. I could see Rizzo winning, but then I'm also like, he just played on 49. Is Rizzo really going to be the winner of 50? Like, are they going to let this little kid win the season? Like, no way.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm there's two that I'm cheering for, obviously, Joe and Johnny, just because they're my friends. But, you know, I don't know. There's no one right now that stands out to me as in, like, an absolute winner of this show. So... but that's why 50 is amazing, right? You never know what's gonna happen.
I mean, I think we are not even a third of the way, like, legitimately math wise, but like boot wise, like, there's, we're a third of the way episode wise, but boot wise, it's like
not even a quarter,
like, or something. You're like, this is insane.
Yeah, not even a quarter. No, there's a lot left. But all right, Jake, any last things you want to say here before we wrap this up?
No, it's that was fun. Thank you guys, and once again, thanks again for having my back through all the snake bite shit and all that. I love watching you guys' podcast. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to be on. But yeah, this is amazing.
It was great having you, Jake, and we appreciate the nipple ring story. I'm going to text Bryce as soon as this is over and tell him. I wrote down the time, 33:20. Bryce is getting a text. I'm just going to say that, and he's going to go right to it. I'm sure he'll be excited. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Make sure you do all that fun stuff. John and McKenna will be back tomorrow night doing Survivor Rewind. I will be live on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time with Kellen from Survivor Ghost Island. So we're going a little old school here. I know old school, season 36. But Kellen, who is around with a lot of these people from the 30s who are playing, not somebody who played with anybody from the 30s who's on here right now, but around a lot of these people and knows a lot of these people. So I'm excited to have Kellen back on the podcast for the first time in a long time. And then we just keep going through. We actually have another Jake next Tuesday night too. So Jake.
Oh, O'Kane, which one?
This one, Jake O'Kane.
The second best Jake.
Yeah, the two Jakes. He's the second. So we'll have another Jake coming out on Tuesday. But thank you all so much for listening. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialists. Go check out. We're about to get in the worlds apart. Oh boy, so much fun. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Peace.